The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you'll end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. The Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life? In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yeshua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such relationship with me. Today we're going to talk about Yeshua. We'll talk about his true birth today. We'll talk about Yeshua represented in the Feast of Tabernacles. And we'll talk about the Spirit of Yah, not the Spirit of Jesus, indwells believers. Overview of the broadcast. This broadcast will discuss various facets of Yeshua, incorrectly called Jesus, including his true birthday, his relationship to the Feast of Tabernacles, and the fact that there is the Spirit of Yah and not Jesus that indwells true believers. We will note that the true birthday of Yeshua was the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. We will then look at how Yeshua, the anointed of Yah, aligns with the Feast of Tabernacles. We will then discuss the fact that the Spirit of Yah, not Jesus, indwells anointed believers. To do this, we will look at some examples of anointing from the Bible. For example, Elisha receives double Elijah's anointing. Yeshua receives the Spirit of Yah when he is immersed by Yehuchanan, John. We will look at a group of believers given the Spirit of Yah corporately in Acts 2. We will also discuss the set-apart spirit falling on a group of people in the house of a Roman centurion, and we will look at set-apart, the word setter or the phrase set-apart versus holy versus Kodesh spirit. We'll talk about the anointing in Mashach, Messiah, and about the anointing in Christ. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a consultant and business manager. I have nearly 30 years of experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of about 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. Doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email, articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show in the top menu and podcasts in the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. So the first article we're going to talk about, 2021-1202, The True Birthday of Yeshua. In exchanging emails with the correspondents, I realized that I've never published an article setting out in detail the basis on which I state that Yeshua was born on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. After a search with Google, I encountered this article which accurately presents what I've known for many years. As always, I present the article without editing, other than I have replaced Yeshua with Yeshua. Some time ago, I concluded that it was not particularly helpful for me to read another person's writings on these broadcasts. So I'm drawing your attention to this article on the website and encourage you to go and read it. That's True Birthday of Yeshua webpage on the main menu of the website. If, depending on your screen size, it's about halfway down the first screen view of the website. The article analyzes in depth the Bible verses that point to Yeshua having been born on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. It also presents arguments against the birth having taken place in December, and also some references to the tabernacles. Also some reference to the Feast of Tabernacles made by Yeshua. The second article is 2021-1206, Yeshua the Anointed of Yah on the Feast of Tabernacles. This article is derived from an article, Jesus Christ in the Feast of Tabernacles, by Ryan S. Gardner. Look on the Brigham Young University Religious Studies Center website, and you'll find the article there, or just search for, quote, Jesus Christ, Feast of Tabernacles, and you should find it there. This is an authoritative and important work. It should be read in the context of eschewing Christmas, rather observing tabernacles. Read this in the context of the article, The True Birthday of Yeshua, on the website, The Evil of Christmas on the website. Read the article with a mind to how you would observe tabernacles in coming years. Again, I will not read the document. See the webpage, Yeshua and the Feast of Tabernacles. And now I move on to the main article of tonight's broadcast, 2022-1007, The Spirit of Yah, Not Jesus, Indwells Anointed Believers. Probably the biggest single error in the body of Christian believers is the error that Christ is synonymous with Jesus, when in fact Christ refers to the anointing of the Spirit of Yah, and therefore refers to Yah and not Yeshua. This results in a transference of the powers and attributes of Yah to Jesus. This article seeks to try to address this error. In the previous article on how to become a believer, I addressed the steps necessary to become a believer in the mighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the eternally self-existing. I also touched on measures that a person can and should take once they've taken that decision. The ideal next step is to pray to be filled with the Spirit of Yah. This results in an infilling of the believer with the Spirit of Yah, which is technically referred to as an anointing. A person who is filled with the Spirit of Yah is technically an anointed one, one anointed with the Spirit of Yah. The Spirit of Yah referred to here is the set apart Spirit of Yah, or incorrectly the Holy Spirit. Folks, there's a lot I'm going to go into in the next few minutes, but I really ask you to focus on this point. Jesus Christ. Jesus is the incorrect translation of Yahushua, meaning Yah is salvation, the name of the person. Christ is the incorrect translation of anointing of the Spirit of Yah, which is the outpouring of the Spirit of Yah on the person. I can be James Christ just as much as any other believer who is Spirit-filled can be their name Christ. If you mix Jesus and Christ and think that Christ is actually synonymous with Jesus, then you fall into the trap of applying the attributes of Yah, which is in the Christ, to Jesus, who is a man. And it's a big reason why so many people believe that Jesus is God, when Yeshua was only a man, a very special man, very special conception, creative miracle, very special history, very special gifts, etc. But fundamentally, he was a man. He could not have done what he did if he was not a man. There are various accounts in the Bible relating to the anointing of people that give indications of how anointing may be received. These include the laying on of hands by an anointed believer, anointing with oil by an anointed believer, immersion, baptism in water by an anointed believer. It's a sovereign gift given by Yah directly. This infilling can also be obtained by simply going to Father Yah and asking for it. Now, there is a Christian doctrine relating to baptism with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, where it is asserted that unless one speaks in an unknown tongue, what is not truly filled with the Spirit of Yah. There are others who assert that this tongue must be a real language, albeit not knowing to the person uttering it. Having met a significant number of believers who are clearly Spirit-filled and Spirit-led, but who do not speak in tongues, I've concluded that speaking in tongues, while highly desirable, is a nice to have. I also believe it relates to a tongue that is not known to other human beings, is a manner in which the Spirit-filled believer can pray to Yah, such that only Yah understands what's being said. Folks, that's so important. It doesn't matter where you come from on the religious scale. You can get stuck on the evidence of speaking in tongues, and therefore you can discount believers who are actually close to Father, who have not received that specific anointing. It's a mistake to believe that it's possible, that it's not possible for somebody who does not speak in tongues to be filled with the Spirit of Yah. It very much is. I've seen this repeatedly. Note also that there are counterfeit demonic tongues, so care must be exercised here. If the gift is given, receive it with thanks, but do not try and force it. Evidence of the infilling of the Spirit of Yah relates to the performing of miracles, healing the sick, raising the dead, walking on water, supernatural wisdom, etc. These are a manifestation of the emunah, faith of the Anointed One, and the recipient, as well as the level of infilling, i.e. level anointing of the Anointed One. Bottom line is indicated in several recent articles and video posts that a believer is not truly a true believer until they're walking in signs and wonders in the supernatural, at least at some basic level. Absence of signs and wonders did not necessarily indicate the believer is not anointed, but it does indicate that they do not know what is available to them, or they do not have the emunah of the faith and knowledge necessary to walk in this. Fundamentally, Yah's intention is that every person who believes in him should be so filled with the Spirit that they can do all these things, heal the sick, raise the dead, walk on water, supernatural wisdom, and so forth. Sadly, the truth is that virtually nobody, including the highly anointed ones, realizes this, let alone seeks it. I'm under the impression at this stage, traveling as I do to the United States every few weeks, I'm under the impression at this stage that there are very few people who are walking in signs and wonders, and yet there is still a significant number of believers, as we talk about on the website. There have been various articles posted that discuss issues related to highly anointed believers. See the articles, powerful example of what is possible when deeply Spirit-led, unlocking the gifts of Yah's Spirit, the price of Yah's miracle-working power, Revival Revisited. The article on how to become a believer and how to become an anointed one provide more context and guidance. See the article on 7 components of drawing close for considerable practical detail on how to get to a state of an intense anointing in this age. So I would go with the 7 components of drawing close article as a not necessarily a starting point. It's a fairly long article. It's about 72 pages, A4 pages. The other articles that I just read out are worth reading. They're shorter, give you some context and fill in the gaps. It's worth seeking. If you're a believer, it's worth seeking to be filled with the Spirit of your Father. I ask you in the name of Yeshua to fill me with your Spirit. I received a particular anointing at the beginning of January 1994 after I read a book that had a big impact on me, and I lay in my bed at about 3 o'clock in the morning just on my stomach saying, Father, I want to know you the way this person knows you. And I prayed that repeatedly for about, I don't know, I think 20 minutes. And then there was this mighty roaring sound in the bedroom, which I don't think anybody else heard. My wife certainly didn't wake up. She was an unbeliever at that stage. And this huge pressure pressed me into the bed, which I learned subsequently was Father's hand on me. And I woke up the next morning able to perform miracles and to prophesy and so forth. So you don't have to be any special. You don't have to be anything special in order to get that sort of thing. Then some examples of anointing from the Bible. Following are some examples of the anointing from the Bible. Read all of these from the perspective that you can be anointed similarly if you do what is required to get there. It's so important, folks, to understand that the anointed believers in the Bible give us pointers as to what is possible if you're filled with the Spirit of Yah. Don't just read them as stories. Read them on the point of view, I could do that. I could part the Jordan River. I could call down fire from heaven. I could heal the sick. I could raise the dead, whatever the case may be. So the first example we're going to look at is Samuel anoints David to become king of Israel. Verse 1 Samuel 16, anointing with the oil of an anointed spirit one. So if we read that passage, 1 Samuel 16, 12 to 13, so Jesse sent word and brought him in. Now he had a ruddy complexion with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. Now the attorney servant existing, the Lord said to Samuel, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the presence of his brothers, and the spirit of the attorney existing came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel arose, went to Ramah, referred to the Amplified Bible for that text. So here we see basically a shepherd with a relationship with Father. Father elsewhere refers to him as a man after his own heart. Called out by the prophet. Prophet pours oil on his head, anoints him. He's filled with the Spirit of Yah, and he went on to kill Goliath. It's one example of what happened with the anointing. Another biblical account, Elisha receives double Elijah's anointing. 2 Kings chapter 2, the anointing given by Yah. It's an example of anointing given by Yah in response to a specific request. It's a reading from verse 7. 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood opposite them to watch at a distance. And the two of them stood by the Jordan, and Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the waters. They were divided this way and that. The two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." He said, "You've asked for a difficult thing. However, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." As they continued along and talked, behold, a chariot of fire with horses of fire appeared suddenly and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, the chariot and its horsemen." He no longer saw Elijah. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces in grief. He picked up the mantle of Elijah, and that fell off. It fell off him, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and struck the waters and said, "Where is Yah, the eternally self-existing, the Lord, the mighty one of Elijah?" And when he too had struck the waters, they divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. And the sons of the prophets who were watching opposite at Jericho saw him. They said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed down to the ground before him in respect. So another powerful example of what is possible when one is filled with the spirit of Yah. Then Yeshua receives the spirit of Yah when he's immersed by Yehuchanan John in 1 John chapter 1. Anointed by Yah in response to immersion by an anointed servant. The next day he saw Yeshua, Jesus, coming to him and said, "Look, the Lamb of the Almighty God, who takes away the sin of the world, this is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who has a higher rank than I and has priority over me, for he existed before me. I did not recognize him as the Messiah, the anointed one who is to come, some other immersing person. Baptizing in water, so he would be publicly revealed to Israel." Yehuchanan John gave further evidence, testifying officially for the record with validity and relevance, saying, "I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. I did not recognize him as the Messiah, the Anointed One, but he who sent me to immerse or baptize in water said to me, 'He upon whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this one is he who immerses with the Holy Spirit, the set apart Spirit.' I myself have actually seen that happen, and my testimony is that this is the Son of Yah." Amplified Bible. So this is so vitally important to get. Yeshua was and is 100% human. The powers that he had came from being filled with the Spirit of Yah, and his knowledge of the things of Yah. In another example, a group of believers given the Spirit of Yah corporately in Acts chapter 2. The anointing by Yah to an assembly by faith, accompanied by giving of tongues, which were valid languages. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound came from heaven like a rushing violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which were being distributed among them, and they rested on each one of them. As each person received the set apart Holy Spirit, they were all filled, that is, it diffused throughout their being with the set apart Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues, different languages, as the Spirit was giving them the ability to speak out clearly and appropriately. So I told you just now I had the experience in 1994, 2nd of January, about 3 o'clock in the morning, where my bedroom was filled with that rushing wind, or the sound like it. There was nothing moving, but it was just this roar. As I said, I don't think my wife heard it. I'm sure she would have woken up if she'd heard it. And on that, an anointing came on me. So it's a similar thing here. that it is entirely possible for you to be filled with the Spirit of Yah without any intervention by any other human being. And that's important. If you're a lone believer, you don't know somebody who's more anointed than you are, who can put their hands on you and impart the Spirit to you, you can seek it directly by faith, emunah, praying to Father Yah. Father, I ask you to fill me with your Spirit. Continuing where we left off, now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout and Yah-fearing men from every nation under heaven. When the sound was heard, a crowd gathered, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing those in the upper room speaking in his own language or dialect. They were completely astonished, saying, "Look, are not all of those who speak Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears in our own language or native dialect? Amongst their Parthians, Medes, you know, the Elamites, people in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia Minor, Ten, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, the districts of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Gentile converters to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we all hear them speaking in our native tongues about the mighty works of Yah." And they were beside themselves with amazement and were greatly perplexed, saying one to another, "What could this mean?" Also from the Amplified Bible. Folks, the thing to understand about all of these passages that I'm sharing with you is it is possible for you or anyone else on this planet to have a comparable experience. You need to pray, you need to fast, you need to worship. You need to seek close, get close to Father. Read the article, Seven Components of Drawing Close. Put that into practice. Hugely important. You can make a real difference in the earth if you do this. You don't necessarily have to have a tongue. You don't necessarily have to have a tongue which is a valid tongue in another language. You just need to be filled with your Spirit and ask him for wisdom, ask him for guidance, and so forth. Another example, the set-apart Spirit falls on a group of people in the house of a Roman centurion, Acts chapter 10. Again, Yah sovereignly gives his Spirit. Note that this happens with people who up to that moment were unbelievers. While Peter was still speaking these words, the set-apart Spirit fell on all those who were listening to the message confirming God's acceptance of Gentiles. All the circumcised believers who came, Peter, were amazed because the gift of the set-apart Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them talking in unknown tongues, languages, and exalting and magnifying and praising the Almighty. And Peter said, "Can anyone refuse water for these people to be immersed, since they have received the set-apart Spirit just as we did?" And he ordered that they be immersed in the name of Yeshua, the anointed of Yah, Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay there for a few days. They amplified again. So again, here we see a situation. In this case, unbelievers who were at some level seeking Father. And Peter came and preached to them. And while he was preaching, the Spirit of Yah just came on this congregation, this group of people. If you are at this moment saying, "Father, I'm not sure I'm filled with your Spirit," or "I know I'm not filled with your Spirit," simply pray, "Father, in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to fill me with your Spirit. I ask you to pour out your Spirit upon me to overflowing." And keep praying. Worship. Pray. Raise your hands if you look at the listen to the recommended worship songs on the website. Pray, sing songs which talk about infilling with the Spirit of Yah. Believe that you're filled with the Spirit of Yah. Ask for that infilling. Father will give it to you. Some commentary. Set apart versus holy versus Kodesh Spirit. Set apart refers to a portion of the personal Spirit of Yah that he gives to believers. That's the set apart Spirit. The use of the word holy clouds this meeting and results in what I would term mystical thinking. Holy is a meaningless English religious word that disguises a simple technical term. Kodesh or Kadosh in Hebrew represents set apart correctly, but is also incorrectly translated. This contributes to the confusion about the identity of Yeshua. Every believer who leaves the spirit of Yah, who receives the spirit of Yah, receives also the set apart spirit of Yah. When I talk about the set apart spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Kodesh Spirit, I'm referring to the portion of Father's Spirit that he gives to a person who believes. There's Father's universal general spirit, which is in whom we live and move and have our being. His spirit holds the universe together. He is everywhere. He brings life. Without Father's Spirit, we would die, the animals would die, the plants would die. The set-apart spirit, the so-called Holy Spirit, the Kodesh Spirit, is that part of Father that he gives uniquely to each believer. When you believe, you receive a portion of the set-apart spirit, the Holy Spirit. As you worship, as you grow, as you pray, as you ask, that portion gets bigger. And if you treasure it and treat it well and protect it, it will eventually come to be a dominant force in your life. Then about the anointing and Messiah or Messiah. So we see that it is entirely possible for Yah to anoint people as he chooses, when he chooses. That is available to you if you've not already received it by simply praying, Father, I ask you to fill me with your spirit. The Hebrew word for anointing is Messiah. There are various transliterations. This is word number 4886 in Strong's Hebrew Concordance. Just want to make this point here. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. So if you look in Bible Hub, the word is Meshach Hehu. 486 is the Strong's number. So just look for 486 in the Bible Hub Concordance. Referring to this link, it is apparent that there are different Hebrew words all translated as 4886. Fundamentally, though, the key point is that anoint is diversely applied to the application of the Spirit of Yah on human beings, not just to Yeshua. So the bottom line is that Messiah, referring to Yeshua as the anointed one who is to come, is at best misleading. Yes, Yeshua was an anointed one, but so were his followers. So were David, so were Samuel, so were Elijah, Elisha, etc. Singling Yeshua out of a special treatment of his anointing is really not desirable, folks. I know this is probably hard for you if you come from a strict Christian background. Yeshua is not Yah. He's not Yah in the flesh. Yeshua was and is 100% human, filled dramatically and powerfully with the Spirit of Yah. Then about the anointing in Christ, taking this further, we see that in Mark 1, chapter 1, verse 1, reference is made to the beginning of the facts regarding the good news of Jesus Christ. The word translated Christ here is the Greek Christou, C-H-R-I-S-T-O-U, Strong's number 5547, which has 538 occurrences in the New Testament, with 25 different Greek words, all being translated as Christ and Strong's 5547. See Bible Hub Greek Christo 5547. The most frequent occurrences are as follows, and it lists four different Greek words with the first few letters the same, the last couple of letters are different. The one has 103 occurrences, the next has 67 occurrences, then 113 and 254. Strong's Concordance gives the translation as Christos equals the anointed one, Messiah, Christ. So we see that fundamentally Christ refers to the anointing just as Messiah refers to the anointing. The key point here is that there are some nuances of Christ which are not represented in English translations. At least some of these nuances have different meanings depending on context. So there's an undesirable simplification in the English that you have four different Greek words, all translated Christ. And so, as we'll discuss later, they have different meanings. Christ as in Yeshua, the anointed of Yah. Christ as in the anointed one. Christ is the anointing of the Spirit of Yah that was upon Yeshua, and so on and so on and so forth. It's very confusing, and it's very misleading, and it gives rise to this problem that people think that Jesus is Yah, because they're equating Jesus with Christ. Then Christ equals Messiah, the anointing with the Spirit of Yah. On consulting Yah about this, it is established that in fact, Messiah and its derived Hebrew words relate to the anointing of a human being with the set-apart Spirit of Yah, and that Christ has the same application. From this, it turns out that Jesus Christ equals Yeshua, the anointed of Yah, or Yeshua, anointed with the set-apart Spirit of Yah. Christ Jesus equals the appointing of the Spirit of Yah that was upon Yeshua. Christ as in through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13, which actually means through the anointing of the Spirit of Yah who strengthens me, through the Spirit of Yah who strengthens me. It's got nothing to do with Jesus. And then Christ as in the anointed one or the one anointed with the Spirit of Yah. It's a technical reference to any person anointed with the Spirit of Yah, on which Yeshua just happens to be the only person referred to this way in the Bible. I think you can see from those four examples that there are very distinct senses and meanings to the word Christ. Jesus anointed with Yah, the anointing on Yah, on Yeshua, the anointing that strengthens me, the anointed one. Four completely different concepts, all represented by the word Christ. And it's completely mistaken, folks. It's really mistaken. Then we get James Christ, being myself. Fundamentally, given that I'm filled with the Spirit of Yah, I'm just as much a Christ as Yeshua is a Christ. I'm not referring to level of anointing. I'm referring to the use of Christ as a technical term to indicate any human being who's filled at some level with the Spirit of Yah. If you're an anointed one, you are just as much your name Christ as is Jesus Christ. Then reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verse 4. Reigned with the anointing of the Spirit of Yah for 1,000 years. This has nothing to do with the here. Or Jesus. So Jesus is not coming soon. We need to reign with the anointing for 1,000 years, given that Satan was sent to the pit, Revelation 21-3 in May 2003. See the webpage Satan to the Pit 2003. See also Yeshua Not Soon, about 3003 on the website. So the bottom line is that Yeshua is an anointed one, not the only anointed one. It was the anointing of the Spirit of Yah in and on Yeshua that enabled Yeshua to perform miracles. One of the big things to realize about Yeshua is that he lived without sin. Because he was without sin, he preserved his anointing. He moved in great power and authority. You can move in great power and authority. You can get to a place where you live without sin and where you can do mighty works and mighty miracles. Yeshua said because he was going to die, that we would do greater works than he did. And it's up to you to seek that. It's up to you to say, you know what, Father, I want to make a difference in this world. I want to get to a place where I'm so filled with your Spirit. The seven components of drawing close to Yah will help you to get there. There's much on the website that will help you to get there. Then saints are anointed ones. It turns out that the term saint applies to any anointed one. So you'll find some people today refer to believers as saints, and that's completely valid. You get the use of saints as in the names of titles given to people who were believers through the centuries and who didn't necessarily qualify for that name before they died. And that, to me, is really sick. I don't see how anybody can be comfortable with using the term saint without realizing that it applies to any anointed one. So you've got St. Michael and St. Andrew, etc. Those are people who are manifestly anointed. But if you are a believer filled with the Spirit of Yah, you're also a saint. Then Yeshua is not Yah. I've made this point before. The key takeaway from this is that Yeshua is not Yah. And it is sin to worship Yeshua, and that we can do the same and greater works than Yeshua. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. That is in John 14:12. The word in, as in believes in me, is Strong's word 1519, which is variously translated about, against 18 times, among 10 times, become 5 times, before 2 times, before, in another context, 1 times, benefit 1, bestowed 1, beyond 1, beyond 2, bring about 1, bring 1, continually 1, eliminated 2, end 2, even 1, ever 2, forever 1, forward 3, leading 2, leads 1, mine 1, etc., etc., etc. See the Bible Hubcom Greek 1519 HTM for the details here. My point with reading that out to you is, here we have a word, believe in me, on which a whole doctrine of believing in Jesus is based. Yet that word, same word translated believe in, is hardly translated in anywhere else. So what you have here appears to be that the translator had a preconceived idea of believing in Jesus, and therefore put in there when they could have put any number of other words there. So building a doctrine on believes in me is false. The best we can say is that Yeshua was indicated that those who follow his example will do comparable and greater works. In the Spirit of Yah, not Jesus, indwells anointed believers. The bottom line of the above analysis is that it is the Spirit of Yah that indwells anointed believers and not Yeshua, Jesus. That it was the Spirit of Yah in and on Yeshua, making him an anointed one, or one anointed with the Spirit of Yah, that enabled him to perform miracles, and that any human being who is a true believer and who is filled with Yah's Spirit at a comparable level to Yeshua will perform comparable and greater miracles. Christ always equals Yah, sometimes it equals Yeshua. The fundamental implication of the above is that Christ always relates to the set-apart Spirit of Yah. Christ sometimes relates to Yeshua, Jesus, as in the Anointed One, or the one anointed with the Spirit of Yah. This wrong thinking is responsible for the vast majority of Christians believing that Jesus is God, or even that Yeshua is Yah, both of which are fundamentally false and break the first commandment. Yah, the eternally self-existing, is one mighty one. You shall have no other mighty ones beside him. The net effect is that most Christians are not believers in Yah and will therefore not qualify for heaven. And those that do at some level have a relationship with Yah will spend considerable time in hell before entering heaven because of their sin of worshipping Jesus. In conclusion, we need to take our eyes off Jesus, stroke Yeshua, fix our eyes firmly on Yah, and do the fasting, cleansing, praying, worshipping, etc. that is necessary to achieve comparable results to Yeshua. This is the challenge to each and every one of us who believe. I want to close off by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, this is so, so important. The whole universe exists because Father was lonely and he wanted intelligent beings that he could talk to and share things with. Everything that you are aware of in the entire universe, the solar system, the sun, the moon, the stars, the planet Earth, the plants, the animals, all of that exists for one reason only. The Almighty wanted friends. If you are not a friend of the Almighty, you're going to get to the end of your life and you're going to come before the judgment seat and you're going to hear, what did you achieve in your life? Think about it. On the ending off, some key documents in a video, the main menu web pages, video, Why Seek Relationship, the Miracle of Yeshua's Death, the Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, Seven Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, the Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, the Essence of My Message to Christians, also the same for Jews, Muslims, and other faiths and unbelievers. All available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's Endtime Issue Ministries, one word. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page. They're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts, or search on Google for quote, Relationship with Creator Radio. There are at least three podcast websites where you'll get the back issues. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 till May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel, prayer, or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents to locate the information you're looking for. There's a wealth of information on the website, about 2,500 articles, over 1,000 web pages. Answers to a lot of your questions. You can search the website with the Google search or the article search, or just search on Google for those terms in the context of End Time Issue Ministries. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list, also at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I'll continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, there's so much more I could say. I would like you to become a friend of Yah. It doesn't matter whether you're tall or short, fat or thin, educated or uneducated, rich or poor, blonde, blue eyes, brown hair, brown eyes. Doesn't matter whether you're Jewish or Muslim or Christian or pagan or Satanist or witch or warlock or Buddhist or whatever. Father wants you to become his friend. He will meet you wherever you are. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I want to become your friend. Help me to become your friend. Help me to know what questions to ask. Bring people across my path who can help me. Show me what to read, etc., etc., etc. Go to the website, Seven Components of Drawing Close. Put that into practice. There's so much more on the website that can help you. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you so much. Good night. Father, I come to you.